It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a wonderful day to study the Word of God, and I'd love for you to join with me today in reading Philippians chapter 2, once again, the 12th through the 16th verse. This is either the third or the fourth week that we can't get beyond that, but there were so many things in that 12th verse, always obeying in my presence or absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. An awful lot of things in that 12th verse. And so please, you open your Bibles up to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. We'll begin there in a minute. As you're doing that, I'd love to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church, and we're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and so please that you either come by to see us or drop us a note. We'd love to hear from you. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. And so now that we begin the study, I'd love to read, and hopefully that you have a moment to follow along with me, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study. Father, I ask you that you once again guide and lead us. It's just, we've had so much joy in studying this precious word, and it comes because of your presence. I ask that you will continue to guide and lead us as we have come to know you as our Savior, made that decision, and now as we've come to decided by your leadership and by our surrendered will to be a servant to you, that we may know you and grow in you. Please, Lord, guide and lead us as we study this word, that we'll be closer to you when we end today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We do love studying the Word of God each and every time that we come together. The last few weeks here, in just a quick review, we have been discussing concerning working out your own salvation in verse 12. We have worked on always obeying in verse 12. We have talked about whether it be presence or absence. The question I continue to ask, and that is, why are you serving? And that was last week. And so it's very important that we always obey. We obey the Word of God and not man's rules and regulations and things of that sort. Because God's rule is much higher than man's rule. And so we need to look unto the Word of God, search after it, that we may have the power and the presence of God. And again, the question comes, why do you serve? Why are you following after the Lord Jesus? Why do you do your things that, why do you do the things that you do around the church? I hope that it's because you have fallen in love with the Lord Jesus. You have recognized as you continue to grow how much he loved you and what he has given to you and for you. And again, he gave you the free gift of salvation. He gave you that, no strings attached. He surrendered his place in heaven to come down here. We've discussed in the last few weeks, no less God. He was God and man. Perfect. Came down from heaven and lived here the 33 years, died, and rose again, that you and I can live. And we must come by faith to Jesus and understand that the place we can meet him is at the cross, because that's where his offering, his life, was given for ours. So that's the place you need to meet him. You need to be saved, come to Jesus by faith, and now begin that walk. Realize you're lost in your sin without Jesus. I ask that you please come to him. And then the work begins. And that's where we were at last week. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. To work to the will and to do at his good pleasure. Because it is God who works in you. When you become a child of God. You know, we've been through this, but I don't want you to miss this. Prior to being a Christian, it's been, you know, back in 1975 when I became a Christian. And so at that time, which I would have been 23 years old, 22 years old, I lived all those years without Jesus, yet very active in church, very much involved, and yet never knowing Jesus as my Savior. So my point of all that is to let you know that you can be in a church. You say, I go to church, Larry, all the time. It's not your church. I'm not telling you to come to this church. I'm telling you to come to Jesus. You need to come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. And once you come to Jesus and you're saved, you may change churches. You may come here. You may go to another Bible-believing preaching church someplace, and that's great. You just need a church home that stands upon the Word and God, the Word of God and the truth. Now, I ask that you do that. Do that very carefully. Obeying. Again, always obeying. But in verse 13, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. There's a work that needs to be done in your life. And once you've come to Jesus and ask Him to be your Savior, He will come into your heart by means of the Holy Spirit, come into your heart to live. The Holy Spirit, then, upon you surrendering your will to the will of God, upon that taking place, as you look to the Word of God, you will begin to know and to learn more about Jesus. That's what happens when you study the Word of God by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a work that takes place then, because your life will change. My life has changed because I met Jesus. My goals have changed. My heart has changed. My will has changed. And for the first time in my life, I can say that I enjoy life. I have great pleasure in life. I have a peace in this life. I have joy in this life, and it's because of Jesus. As all you folks have tried in many different ways to find a peace and a joy and a satisfaction in this life, you'll find the same thing I found, and that is that all failed. There's only one that can bring you peace and joy, and that's the Lord Jesus. Well, this peace and joy will come because of a work that is going on. That work is a God-given work. Again, verse 13, for it is God who worketh in you. It is a work that is going on in you because you have surrendered your will to the will of God. Don't ever forget that there is this serious problem in our life, and that's called will. Your will can keep you from being saved because you choose not to recognize the condition you're in, and you're a lost, filthy sinner, and you need Jesus. You have failed to recognize that. That's your will doing that. It's your will that also, after you become a believer in Jesus Christ, that can keep you away from the Word of God, keep you away from doing God's will in your life now, that you can have this peace and joy that I'm talking about. It's your will. A small little word there that can totally destroy your life. It's your will. God has a work that He wants to do in your life. That work is to take us from the filthy sinner that we are and place us on the road to joy and peace and perfection. Not in this life, but in the life to come. That end result will come, and we're going towards that. And the only thing that we need to do to accomplish those steps and those things is that we surrender our will to the will of God. And when we do that, then this work begins. God only wants the best for us. God wants the good for us. God has not only has He saved us and snatched us from the grasp of Satan and the pits of hell, He has also set out to give us a peace in our mind and a peace in our heart that nothing in this world can give. Now, that'll come. That'll come by His work. And it's a work that He is doing in us. And we have that in verse 13. God who worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. His pleasure is to make us godly, make us holy. And that good pleasure, again, will give you a peace and a joy that no one else can give. Now, His grace, His presence in our life, is set out He set out to do a work. And every one of us are different. Every one of us are individuals. And so he takes you. He takes me. And he makes what he wants in us, through us, by him. He does it. According to who we are, he made us. According to who we are, with his God-given power, strength, he moves us to a place that we can glorify and praise and honor the name of Jesus. He can move us to a place again that will bring a peace and a joy in our hearts. You can't imagine the people that he can change. He can change anyone if you will just listen to the will of God. Now, the only way you can do that is you're not going to hear the voice of God, and we have that today. We have people that say they hear the voice of God and they are the prophet of God. No, they're not. Prophets are teachers, yes. But the scripture, the original prophet that we have recorded in the Word of God, the apostles and the prophets, those are both folks that were, that was a position in the church that was created for the establishment, the foundation of the church. That's the reason they had very special gifts for the beginning work. Now that we have the Word of God, we no longer need and no longer have, this is according to the Word of God, no longer have those places. They are still in the church, yes, but not active. You understand what I'm saying? They are there because they built the foundation. The church has never changed, and they are part of my foundation upon the Lord Jesus. But those places do not exist today in the local church. They are no less part of the New Testament church. They are no less part of the local church, but those positions and places no longer are necessary because we have the Word of God. We have the work of God by the Holy Spirit in our heart to guide and lead us through the precious Word. And again, to both to will and to do at his good pleasure. Now, we've talked about why do we serve. Before we get that far, let me show you a sweet verse of Scripture back here in Isaiah. Isaiah 26:12. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Even back in Isaiah, we need to understand that any work that goes on, any work of any value, people work all their life very hard, they're never Christians. Many people seem to accomplish a lot of things that aren't even Christian, or many people do it upon their own will and way, but it's to no avail, it's to no account, it's to no gain. Only when you become a child of God by being born again and you surrendering to the will of God, to his truth, only then will this work, God who worketh in you, only then, he gets back to that will. I want your will to be broken and God's will to be put in place of that, that you can live. It's his will. God's power, God's grace makes us, builds us into something that's good. He can take a vessel that's so wicked and so messed up, and he can make it into a usable vessel. A vessel that brings glory to God. A vessel that is has been purged. A vessel that's been tested by fire. A vessel that brings glory to God. Oh, it's so wonderful to be a child of God. It's so wonderful for our will to surrender to the will of God. that we can be a usable vessel. Now, a lot of people don't want to do that. They don't want to take time to know the truth. They don't think it's necessary. If you have a vessel that has been cleansed by the presence and the power of God, set free, have a peace and a joy in their heart, that's a person that's going to separate themselves from the world, know the doctrines of the Word of God, not be fooled or tricked. That's a person that's going to have a great peace in their heart, matching no one else. That's a person that's going to go out and be a soul winner. That's a person that's going to want to go out and tell people about Jesus because they know what Jesus means to them. But I ask you to stay upon the truth so carefully and so clearly. There is no strength and no good come from anything else. None whatsoever. Always obeying. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, verse 14 tells us. All things without murmuring and disputing. There's something said for a cheerful giver. And, you know, when we give our tithes and offerings unto the Lord, we should give those cheerfully. But we should also serve cheerfully. Whatever that place is, you know, whether it be, again, something hidden, possibly, you know, some place that you can hide, and that's back in the nursery. Nobody ever sees you. Many folks, there'll be a week pass, and they'll ask about someone. And I said, yes, they were in the nursery today. I believe that the children should be in the service as much as possible. At the same time, there are little children and folks that don't feel good, and these kind. We have a nice nursery. It's to be used as little as possible, not because we don't love children here, but because we want the children in the service. We want them here to hear the Word of God. We want them here to watch after and see the parents and the grandparents and neighbors and folks, how they react to the Word of God, how they react to that Holy Spirit when it pierces their heart. You know, that's an exciting thing to watch a dad or a mom for a youngster. To watch dad or mom or grandpa or grandma or uncle or aunt or somebody that they know very well, all of a sudden, when the invitation begins at the close of the service and they slip out of that pew and they come down the aisle. What a surrendered heart. Things like that change people, my friend. They not only change the person that surrendered to come down, but those young people that are watching you, those young people that you fussed with the whole service, their eyes are right on you. Not to bring you glory, but they wonder. They wonder, it's got to be something special that would allow mom to do that, or dad to do that, or grandpa to do that, or grandma to do that. Those kind of things change people's lives because they're surrendered, my friend. And you know, to do all things without murmuring and without disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless sons of God. Those are precious words. As we look to the Word of God, and again, not only that we should be a cheerful giver of our tithes and offerings, a cheerful giver of our time. Do you complain about the time that you have to spend helping around the church in one area or another? Do you complain because you're the only one that's doing it? You know, if you're the only one that's doing it, don't complain. Praise God He's given you the ability to do it, and pray for those folks that aren't, because you're going to get the blessing, they're not. But if you let the old devil win out, and you start murmuring, you start disputing, whether it's something that's going on in the church you don't like, or whether it's because you're the only one doing something, seems like, around the church. So you begin to murmur. Begin to complain a little bit. Maybe it's to other church members. Maybe it's to somebody that's outside the church. Oh, that works nice. You start complaining and murmuring to somebody that's not in the church. You think they're going to come here to church? You think they're going to be saved? That's the reason the old devil loves murmuring. He loves a little trouble, a little disputing. He loves that. You know, our behavior, to be a Christian is the most honorable the greatest, the most wonderful opportunity. I don't care what position that you want. I don't care how high you up are in some certain company or what public office that you hold. I don't care what you do. There is none that match the joy and the presence of Jesus Christ in your life, being a Christian. You know, as in being a Christian, it should be a work that's a lifelong work. We have young people and young adults that don't seem to have time to do anything other than just come to church. We have middle-aged folks that are busy at work and hard at work, and they come home tired and they just don't have time for church. Maybe they come, but they don't really have time to help out around the church. You have older folks that maybe don't feel like working around the church. I just ask that you look unto the Word of God and let the Word of God be your power and your presence. He'll show you the opportunities that you have, and if you're physically unable to help, God knows that and understands that. If it's because you just don't want to take time, or maybe you feel that you have already done all that you need to do. I've seen folks like that before, that they say, hey, I'm getting old, it's time for those young people to take over. There's always work to do. I don't ever plan to retire from the church work. I don't ever plan to retire from serving the Lord. I may retire from my work, but I hope at that time that my heart and my desire is that I can take that time and spend all the more in giving out the gospel of the Lord Jesus, in telling people how to be saved, and then sitting down with those folks and help them very carefully and very lovingly to grow each and every day, knowing that we must stay in the truth, the Word of God. That today is the biggest problem. People are not in the truth. They're not in the Word of God. They don't even know the Word of God. And if you don't have the truth, if you don't stand upon the Word of God, the truth, and it's so sad to watch people being tricked, and many people are working very, very hard in the religion that they're a part of. But because it's not the truth, it is not God who worketh in you at all. If you don't have the truth, whatever drives you is not God. Whatever drives you is not the Holy Spirit. So if not the Holy Spirit's driving you, it must be another spirit. There are only two. That's the old devil and his helpers. Or the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. Now if you're not standing upon the truth, and you may not know that you're not. But if you're not standing upon the truth, you are not doing it for the Lord, you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for a pat on the back. You're doing it for somebody to appreciate you, to show praise unto you, to give you something, some gift or something or other. That's no reason to do it. We need to serve, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Don't be a murmurer. Even though you seem like you're the only one doing it, don't be a murmurer. I don't want you to miss the blessings of God. Take that time that you used to spend murmuring and disputing and kind of complaining a little bit. Turn that time to prayer time. Say, God, I wonder where everybody's at. Why don't they want to work? But just because they're not working, God's not going to slow me down. I'm going to continue to praise you and honor you. I don't need anybody's recognition, Lord. I just need you to know. And He does. He knows what we're doing with the right heart and the right mind, and that ought to be enough for every one of us. Because you see, again, we're working out the gift that He has given us. He's given us a free gift, the gift of salvation, And we're taking that free gift and we're walking each day with such a great joy because he's what he has given us. That's why we work around the church. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we desire so much to stay in the truth, the word of God, that we may have his power and his presence and no other reason. That's why. If you're a complainer and a murmurer and a disputer, I ask that you stop it. I ask that you turn right now and look into your heart and you find out whether you're even a child of God. As long as there's murmuring going on in the church, and as long as there's disputing going on in the church, you can bet there's not going to be anybody saved. That division's just enough to keep folks out of the house of God. That's just enough to keep folks away from the time of going out and telling people Jesus saves. That's just enough. So I want you to understand. I understand. Murmuring and disputing keeps people from getting saved. Paul says that there is no one's blood upon my life, upon my body, because I have witnessed to all. I have told every opportunity I've had, I have told people about Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean everybody was saved, but it does mean that Paul did what he was supposed to do. But there's going to be blood on your hands if you're a murmurer and a disputer. There's going to be blood on your hands. Paul says here that in the verse 15th verse, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that you may be blameless and harmless sons of God. To be blameless. You can't be a murmurer. You can't be disputing and be blameless. Paul wants you, wants me. Whether in his presence or absence, he wants us to have our heart set upon serving the Lord Jesus, walking after the Lord Jesus, our will to be his will, always obeying, presence or absence. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. God, who works in you both to will and to do at his good pleasure, and do it all without murmuring. Do it all without complaining. Don't try to find fault in somebody else. Don't do that. Pray for them. Don't judge them. Pray for them. God's our judge. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is pick the brothers and sisters up. First of all, bring a person that's lost to Jesus and then lift them up to you. And Father, to you when we come to you. That's our position. Now, I'm saying that many times we don't take that position, do we? We like to judge. We're pretty good at finding fault. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes. But I got a God that forgives me. I got a God that loves me. And we as children of God, born again believers, need to have that character. We need to understand that yes, we make mistakes. Serious mistakes. You know, there's not one mistake that's not serious. Very serious. Anytime you turn and walk away from God, it's very serious. Now, you don't think being absent in the house of God is as serious as some other sins, do you? I think you better check with the judge. That's the word of God, my friend. To be a Christian is the greatest, most wonderful opportunity that you can have. What are you going to do about Jesus?